Good morning, everyone. It's a nice, cool morning here in the mid-north coast. A winter storm came through yesterday and cleared things out and cooled it down. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Wow, haven't we been through an awful lot in the last year? Some crazy things have gone on, and you know what? They're not over yet. A lot of churches, ours included, will be meeting again this Sunday with some restrictions, of course. But you know, I know this year has not been a fun ride for anyone. With all the shutdowns and the restrictions and the job losses, and it's just not been a lot of fun. For the Sullivan family, well, the year started off with the loss of our beloved Labrador, Milo, and all I can say is that hurt. That was painful. Then the coronavirus shut everything down. Everyone went into isolation. We couldn't see anyone, except, of course, those who are essential services, and we just got busier. And I admit that the shutdown has been painful, and because most of us have been separated from our friends and our family. Many of you all know that Julie and I are not able to go over and see our new granddaughter Hope, at least until the middle of next year. Now I know, we've got social media, and I'm grateful for that. But I really don't get much out of cuddling computer screens or iPads. But these things will change, and the sooner the better. All of this may seem hard in a lot of ways, but something to keep in mind. We never learn life-changing lessons in good times. It's only in the difficult times that we're molded into something better. And this morning I would like to show you some people in the Bible that this happened to. Some good people and some not so good. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. Thank you for your blessings even, and more particularly in hard times. Thank you for all that you do for us, and thank you for the lessons that you have been teaching us and will continue to do so. Father, we just praise you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the Bible, we find people who grew through hard times. And the first that we're going to look at was a pagan king in the time of Daniel. That was the all-powerful king and ruler of Babylon, the greatest military power of that day. It's fair to say because of this, he was pretty proud of himself, and unfortunately, he was really willing to tell everybody how great he was. Well, just after he was bragging on himself one time, God took his mind away. He wandered as an animal throughout the wilderness for 7 years. He grew hair like an eagle's feathers, and he grew nails like a bird's. The fields were his bed, and the grass was his food. Not a good experience for anyone. And then after 7 years, God brought his mind back. Let me show you some things that he said that shows that his attitude changed greatly. Found this in Daniel 4. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned, and I praised and worshiped the Most High and honored the one who lives forever. You notice the change? He continues, he rules everything. His rule is everlasting. His kingdom is eternal. And all the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, What do you mean doing these things? Have you ever thought about doing that? Well, ask a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, and he'll tell you. God knows what he's doing. There was quite a difference in the old boy, and he was originally blinded by human arrogance. And then God caused something to happen to him to clear his eyes to where he could see. But there's another man that we're maybe more familiar with, that God, he has shown us through this man that hard times sometimes can make us strong. And this guy, he excelled, he thrived through the hard times, though they were very, very painful. His name was Job. Job was the richest man in the land, and he was the most righteous. Now get this, the most righteous. He had not done anything wrong, but then God allowed the devil to give him a hard time. Sometimes we wonder why. That's a difficult question. But Job lost his riches, he lost his children, then he lost his health. His wife even told him, "Why don't you curse God and die? In this circumstances, what would you do? What would I do?" Well, Job, listen to what he said in Job chapter 1, verse 22. "In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God." Would we do the same? Would we not blame God? See, Job kept his integrity, and because he kept his faith and his integrity, God blessed him and gave him everything he had lost and much, much more. Why? Because he trusted God. What can we learn from these stories? Well, first, God can and will humble the arrogant. Secondly, for the righteous, God can be trusted even when everything has been stripped away. We can trust him. So, considering everything that we've been through, for you and me, will we still choose to trust God? Now, the answer to that question is probably the greatest lesson that any of us could learn through the things that we have been through. Will we trust God? Say it with me. Will we, you and me, will we trust God? But there's some other things that we can learn and have learned since January. First, there are more than one way to do things. On week one, I made the comment that during the shutdown, those who are creative and can reinvent themselves will survive and they'll thrive. And that's exactly what happened. Many restaurants have gone to takeaway rather than serving inside. A couple of our favorite places have done that, and they've done nothing but thrive during this time. Matter of fact, one of them has reworked their design, and they're focusing more on takeaway than in-store serving. And secondly, we've noticed that a lot of office buildings have been empty. And I believe they'll probably continue to be empty because millions of people have learned that they can work at home. And some of your CEOs will learn that too, and it'll decrease the bottom line. They won't have the overhead. So I think we won't see any changes. There'll still be a lot of people working at home. We've also learned that the family has been rediscovered. I think we're only beginning to see the value of reconnecting with family. All of a sudden, people are discovering the importance of each other in their family. But as far as churches go, we've learned that churches can connect with far more people using online services because these can be seen any time of the day or any day of the week. Now, let me give this disclaimer. Meeting face-to-face is and always will be the biblical model. But online outreach is here to stay. That's why I intend, Lord willing, to continue using online service. I would even go so far as to say that those people who have come to Christ because of the online outreach would say that the shutdown was God's will for them to where they could come to Christ. Listen, online is a valuable tool. I've recently read that in our day, the vast majority of people who come to a church, wherever, have already checked it out thoroughly online. If that church's online presence is convincing, then that visitor will probably start coming along. But if their online presence is sloppy or not convincing at all, you'll never hear of that person. We need to keep that in mind. But you know what? We've learned these things because God chose to allow the normal way of things, the normal way of doing things, to be shut down. So let's again look at some of our greatest lessons that we have learned through the shutdown. First, we've learned that God is still in control. Did you ever doubt that? He's still in control. And secondly, he uses hard times to teach us the most valuable lessons. Throughout the Bible, we find where God led his people through some of the most difficult times, and we can also discover that they were right in the middle of God's will as they went through these difficult times to learn valuable lessons. So we can conclude that our COVID-19 shutdown is probably God's perfect will for us. Now, I know that there may be those who push back against that conclusion, but I think that we should surrender to the fact that God knows what he's doing, even in difficult and unusual times. He will teach us our greatest lessons when we're far outside of our comfort zone and when we're going through suffering. Just ask Job, or maybe Nebuchadnezzar, or Peter, or even Jesus himself. Remember, Jesus pursued his greatest joy by enduring the cross, despising the shame of the whole thing, and he did that for one reason, and that was to bring you and me into his family forever. Keep this in mind. His pain was our gain. I'll say it again. His pain was our gain. So let's make it personal. Will you and I endure the cross that he has given us so we can better reach other people? Will we willingly accept our inconveniences for God's ultimate glory? Listen, I really don't think God is at all concerned about our comfort. However, I think he's ultimately concerned about our effectiveness in reaching other people. So let's trust him to do what he needs to do to turn us into people that would better suit his desires and purposes. So going forward, I'd like to leave you with a passage of scripture, which is my favorite, that may give us some insight into the future. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is some things that we need to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. You see how that can apply? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Or let's just sum it up in the verse that we all know, where Jesus told his followers to pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, now catch this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we believe that? Will we pursue that, even if it's difficult? That's the question. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the blessings of the day. Thank you for the blessings of difficult times as we learn our greatest lessons during those times. Now, Father, we honor you and praise you, and help us to better reflect the character of Jesus in every day of our life. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.